you today. And if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1. We're gonna start there. What is that not doing too good? Reggie, yeah. James, yes. James chapter 1. You know, last week, the title of the message was Take a Closer Look, and we were talking about, we as Christians should examine our lives. We should, it says, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. And lots of things happen to us, and we can get knocked off track. We can get into depression. We can get into wrong ways of thinking. We can get into giving up about things. We can all kinds of different things can happen to us. We need to examine where we are so we can reach back into the Lord and have the Lord give us the strength and give us the wisdom and give us the right kind of attitude that we need to have to face the different things that happen in life. That was last week. And I want to start in James chapter 1. It's kind of a transition from that concept about... I think the first song said something about looking in the mirror, and it says this: James chapter 1, starting in verse 22. We're going to read up to 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now that in and of itself is something to think about too. That because we hear something, if we're not really examining ourselves and saying, asking God to help us to walk in the things that we hear about, right? Not hearing is, that's only the first step. Yet there's something more than just hearing the word of God. It's actually doing the word of God. And then it goes on and says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man that beholds his natural face in a mirror. For he beholds himself, and he goes his way, and right away forgets what manner of man he was. Well, we're all in that category, aren't we? You know, because we quickly go on to the next thing in life. We read something in the Word, or we come to church, or we're praying with somebody, and we don't take the time the way we need to anymore to really be contemplative and to think about things and examine what's going on and making sure that we're really following on to know the Lord. We kind of bounce through life and we feel good because, I go to church on Sunday, and what more does God want from me? You know? There is some things. And this is what's good. So let's continue here. And verse 25 says this: but whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now it shows that continuing to look, examining, right? Continuing to look brings you to a place where you actually end up becoming a doer of the word, right? There's this thing about continuing, and that's what caught me, and I want to talk about this thing about pursuing, continuing, finishing. Where we become Christians, we see how great a God He is and what His great love has done for us, and we've accepted that. And there's a continuation of that really is very important. It says, and I'm not going to have you turn to it, but in Hebrews 12:2, it says that the Lord, Jesus, is the author and finisher of our faith. There's one thing I know about the Lord is that what he starts, he finishes. He doesn't just go part way. One thing that we can really take some encouragement in is that because we've come to him and we're now part of his family, he does have a concern for our life. He is involved with us. And what he started in us, he will finish. We're the ones that are obtuse. He's there for us. He is always looking to guide us and change us and move us in the correct direction.
Yes.
That's such an encouraging thing.
Yeah.
He's not off in the universe somewhere doing something else. He's right there concerned for us. What a fantastic thing. And what he started, he is going to finish with us. Are we going to continue with him? You get it? Jesus is always going to be there for you. He's always there for you and me. Always. Because the Lord speaks the message to me, and then I hear words just pop out of me in the songs, or when people say something, you know. Of course, I like to write them down. You know, I thought this was, here's a few things. In one of the songs, I didn't write down which one it was, but it says, his love will never run out. It will never dry up. Right? This is what we're talking about with Jesus, him finishing. He's going from the start to the end with you and me. What a great
and on and on and on.
It's he is never going to run out. He's never drying up. He's always going to be there for us. This is the foundation of what I'm now going to get into, because I think it's important for us to realize that he's always there for us, isn't he? He will be able to give us the love we need, the endurance we need, the strength we need, the wisdom we need, the fight we need to have inside, a determination that we need. He's there. And it's his power, it's his strength, it's his wisdom, it's his love that's going to be able to sustain us through things, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. This was actually the first scripture the Lord gave me as I was asking him for the message for this week. And I didn't understand it at first, because you and I know this scripture really pretty well, I think. You've heard this a lot. It says this in verse 6, okay, Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Yeah, right? And the government will be upon his shoulder. I'm going to just stop right there. Jesus came as a child. He grew up as the Son of God. And he's going to be the King of the whole world. Is that right? Jesus did not remain a little child. You know, there's a bunch of people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s that still act like a child. It isn't the age. It isn't the age, is it? And there's something that that I got out of this scripture that God wants us to grow up, because we can't handle the things of this life unless we do. We'll always be reacting as a child if we don't grow up in our understanding of the Lord and what's going on in life and being able to handle the things that come along. And I thought, you know, God's expectation for us is the very same thing. He wants us to be able to finish our course. He wants us to be finishers. Not, you know, the race starts. The gun goes off. All right, well, we're now a new Christian. Oh, I think I'll stop right here. He wants us to finish the race. Doesn't he? He wants to finish what we started. He's looking for that. And you know, I think lots of Christians, we're satisfied taking the first few steps in this race. Now, I'm saved, and God loves me. But you know, there's more. And God continually needs to remind us that there's more to experience in Him. More to give out of ourselves for others. To reach out with the message of salvation, but also to be a real example of who Jesus really is. As He manifests Himself through the members of His church. Kathy was telling me, blew me away in it. Kathy was telling me this morning that there was a pastor who was suing someone in his church because she won big megabucks thing, and she had told him that, if I win this, I'm gonna tithe to the church. Well, it was $188 million. And so this guy was expecting $18.8 million to come to the church. And she gave her church $1 million something. Right? Well, the pastor's taking her to court to get the 10%. Now you tell me if that's, you know, I didn't know how to think about that. You know?
But he calls himself a warrior for Christ.
He calls himself a warrior for Christ. It's crazy. To me, it's just crazy. And it shows a lack of real maturity in the Lord. I was appalled. I was appalled when I heard that. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10.
Even if she gave 10 cents to the church, that's between her and God.
That's between her and God. It's a free will offering.
Right.
Tithing is still free will.
Right.
Yes, go ahead.
I had a kid one time, when you were talking about the race, I had a kid one time who was running 110 high hurdles. It was his first time. He was very tall and very talented. He did four hurdles and then stopped and walked off the track. His name was Scott. I said, Scott, what are you doing? He said, I don't like the hurdles. So that can be how we are.
Yeah.
I like this race, I'm going to step out of it.
Oh, I didn't realize, though, I thought walking with Jesus was going to be a bowl of cherries. I thought I was going to tiptoe through the tulips of life. Right? What is all of this? Well, I've had enough of this. You know, I'm stopping right here. I'm not going any further. We can do that, can't we? Go ahead, Sarah.
Can I just read a scripture?
Oh, sure.
James 1:2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whether you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything."
Perseverance. That was a big word in what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
exactly. All right, and you're actually going to read about that here in Hebrews. All right, are you there? Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 35. Hebrews 10:35. "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. For you have need of," in the King James it says patience. Reggie mentioned something about patience earlier. But that word patience means perseverance. Seeing something through to the end. Starting a walk with God and finishing it. And when... Yeah, go ahead.
How do you finish a walk with God? I don't understand that.
Well, you don't understand? It's like this.
When you die, right? When you die, then you're there. Like,
he's
completed you as much as he can.
Yeah, yeah. It's this side of life. Oh. You know, but Paul says, I was going to read this later, but Paul says, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, and now there has been laid up for him crowns and, you know, the prize. Heavenly calling that God has for him, right? So that's what it's talking about. We're always going to be with the Lord. We're always going to walk with God. But the sense, and this is why when you read this, you know, the context of it is dealing with this life, right? That's what it's dealing with. So it says here, "For you have need of perseverance. You have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. For in yet a little while, he that will come, and he won't tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith." Yeah. Right? All of life's trials, and this goes back to what you were just saying, so. All of life's trials end up, for us who know the Lord, to be something that produces something very positive. It produces a perseverance. Right? But listen, look what it says in verse 18. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draws back," withdraws. It's like what Steve was saying. You do, the kid does four hurdles and he has maybe 20 more. I don't know I don't remember anymore.
Six
more after that. And he withdraws himself from the race. Right? There's lots of things. This isn't being judgmental in any kind of way, because all of us are in the boat of life is hard.
Right?
Bad things happen to good people. Don't they? Bad things can happen, and it can be so discouraging. You know, and even being Christians, we can have bad reactions. But hopefully, not to the point that we withdraw ourselves from the Lord. Right? And I think that's the main thing that he's talking about here, is not drawing back from the Lord. And says, my soul doesn't have pleasure in a person that draws back, moves away from God. want somebody that's going to take what takes place in life, and he's going to move on. You know, I know these guys. They're moving on in life. This hurts. This is a hard, hurtful thing inside. But the thing the Lord wants out of them and out of us is that we mature, that we grow, that we persevere, that we're not going to let go of God and blame God, but that we understand this is what goes on in life, and we do what we have to do in this life, but we're not going to give up on Jesus. And that's easy to do. And millions of people have done that. Go ahead.
Well, sometimes in life too, like for us, with all the battles we're going on right now, raising Noah, and we know that was God's will when we took on Noah. But, you know, when things happen, they're normal, raising kids, and we want to give up on them, you know, and we get, well, God, we don't have the strength, but then Satan tries to deceive us into giving up, you know.
That's right.
And he gets us so frustrated. But, I mean, I've learned this week, you know, I need to just cry out to God and hold on to him.
Yeah.
Because that battle is worth winning for that young man's soul.
Exactly.
You know, you have to, you know, and even in your own strength, you don't have it. But when you get on your knees and cry out to God, he just gives you that. I mean, he's the one that lifts you up.
Yeah.
And it gives you new hope.
This is where we go. This is how it happens. Like I said at the beginning of it, I'm going to say it here at the end. You know, Christ he's going to help us finish.
That's right.
And that's the only source of power, isn't it?
Yeah.
The only source of power is Christ. We're not going to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and be able to do this. It's going to be because of our crying out, our humbleness before God. God, I can't do this. Please give me the strength to walk through this and be an example of you, and that I don't lose my joy in you. God, help me. Because we're all destitute when it comes to that, aren't we?
I just have to say,
I
was talking with Robin this morning, and you know, everything that's going on in the whole Hanson family, and top to bottom, in and out. Father just spent 6 hours in the emergency room, and Karen John just went through a hurricane, and her husband's been in bed for 2 days in pain, and both of her children are sick. And it's just one thing after another with them. And I said to her, how are you doing, Robin? And she said, well, I could use a blessing right now, but, you know, I'm not going to ask for that. I just need a little break. But she said, you know, I know that in my weakness, he's made strong.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to cling to.
Yeah.
We know that he's showing himself strong even though we're weak.
Right.
And the verse that I chose for the bulletin today was, I was hoping Chris and Crystal would be here because this is like their favorite psalm. But it says, Psalm 73. 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Hallelujah. This is at the groundwork of it all. You know, Jesus lived his life. He grew. He grew up. He's the Son of God. He's going to be the King, actually living on this earth. And there's a progression for us, for us to grow up in these things, mature in these things, come to a completion of what God has for us as a person, and in the ministry that all of us have a ministry. And we don't want to withdraw back from that. We want to be available because of all His great love. He has great things for all of us to do, doesn't He? You know, the scripture, and I'm not going to turn to this one either, but it's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It says, we need to lay the elementary principles of Christ behind, not forgetting them. But we're to go on to completion. Go on to finish the course that God has set before us. God has set before you a course, a path that is special for you to follow. It's going to be different than everybody else's. It's not a cookie cutter kind of thing. And God has things for you and wants you to walk that path. Right? And so it's good we continue to walk that path and not get distracted and not get to the discouragement to the place where we don't do anything. That we start out and then we stop and draw back and don't finish what God has for you as a person in Him. And the great thing is that it's not going to be our strength. It's Him, and He provides it. And that means we can do it.
Yes.
We can do it. You and I can do it. Right? Amen. So, Philippians chapter 3. This particular, one of the particular verses that I'm going to read here is... I alluded to this back a number of sermons ago, but this is what's on our church website, Philippians 3:12, okay, or 14 it is, but I'm starting in 12. So we're going to be in Philippians 3:12. I'm going to read up through verse 14, and it's verse 14 that is what's on our website. All right, so I'm going to read this, verse 12. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, and that means completed, finished, right? But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which I was also apprehended of for Christ. That means... that he's following the Lord. He's listening to the voice of God. He's trying, if God goes in one direction, he's following after. That's a walk with God. That's a particular path that he wants you to walk down. So he says, I follow that. I'm going to follow Jesus. So that I can take hold of, the word apprehend means to take hold of, so I can take hold of the thing that God has taken a hold of me for. Well, what's that? That's the goal he has for you. The ministry that he has. The place he wants to take you to where your character, your behavior, is not going to remain the same, but we're in the process of being conformed to the image of Christ. We're going to be different. Just like the song. We're going to be people that are going to be different. Or, we can just fit in with the world. That's a possibility. You don't want people to think of you funny. But I would say that the people that are in this room here don't mind if you're different. In fact, you're saying amen to that song.
But even so, I think that song is also saying, "Let me be different from who I was yesterday."
Yes, exactly.
The world.
Right.
Yeah.
We're different because we're in Christ, and that means we're going to be changed by Christ. If we accept that, if we allow Him to. Most of us can look at other people and say, boy, I hope God changes them. And I'm okay, but I'm pretty good, you know. There's not much that I need to change. Boy, this message I got would be really good for so-and-so. You know, that goes through all our brains once in a while anyway. You know? And we're not really examining ourselves. Well, we're pointing our fingers someplace else. But there's things here that we really need to grab a hold of. So it goes on, and he says in verse 13, brethren, I don't count myself as having gotten a hold of it yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind me, in other words, in the past, I'm going to reach forward to the things that are ahead of me. This is a very, very important thing for us as Christians. Not to be, we need to look at those things at times where God has really blessed us and we've really felt His presence and all of that. But not to live in the past, but to move ahead for the future. Isn't that important?
Yes.
And then it says in verse 14, I press. What's that mean? I press for the mark. What's that mean?
Persevere.
What else?
Pursue.
Is that what it has up there? I pursue with my goal. To press. You know, have you ever been in a crowd and the press of the crowd, you know, you're jostled around, and sometimes you have to press through the crowd. There's all kinds of things that impinge on our walk with God. All kinds of things. You know? The pain, the tragedy, the disappointments, whatever goes on in life, right? And there's a thing that where we can cry out to God, God, help me to press through all of this. Yes, it hurts, I'm bleeding, but I want to continue on serving you. I know that's in their hearts. They don't need to hear this because they, well, maybe they do. But, but it's an added encouragement because I know what kind of people they are. And they're people that are sold out. They're committed, just like you are. We're committed to Christ. It isn't just a half-hearted kind of thing, is it? No matter what happens, we're not selling out. We're not going to withdraw. We're going to walk with Christ no matter what comes our way. You all stand on that? Y'all stand on that?
I hope so. I know you do. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
You didn't finish that verse?
I thought I did. I didn't?
No.
Finish it for me then.
I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, the high calling of God. There's something more. There's something for people that aren't just babes, that don't just swim around in the elementary teachings of Christ, but people that want to continue to move on in Christ. Let's leave the elementary principles behind and let us press on to completion. Let's press on to perfection. Right? And I think you're the kind of people, because you keep coming here, that's what you want, because you hear this a lot. Because you know what? We need to hear this a lot. God continues to encourage us and exhort us to press on through the things of this life. And I'll tell you what,
a number of people in this church have been really nailed over the last couple of weeks with things that have happened in their lives or families' lives.
Okay. Did you go there? 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
You got the spiritual stamina here? Got a few more scriptures to go. This isn't the last one.
Are we on the fourth hurdle or are we on the eighth hurdle?
We might be at the fourth one.
Oh, okay.
All right. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24. It says this. Don't you know that those who run in a race, all of them run. But one receives the prize. So run that you might obtain. Now that's one of the prerequisites for us to run the race and win it is you got to finish the race. You got to finish the race, don't you? So one of the things about running in such a way to win is that you got to finish it. You can't walk away. You can't walk away from God and finish the race. So Paul says here as he continues, every man that strives for mastery is self-controlled in all things. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. So this thing about moving on to completion, to come to where the goal that God has taken a hold of us for, and for us to actually get there, isn't going to be that we just stand still as a Christian, thanking God that we're saved, and not moving on, not listening, not reaching out and doing the things that God wants us to do. We don't finish the race that way. Okay? So one of the things is we have to be self-controlled. Not flying off the handle. Watching ourselves, examining ourselves. Oh man, I shouldn't be watching that television program. You know, put in whatever you want there. And then it goes on, verse 26. Therefore, I so run, not as uncertainly. I so fight, not as one that beats the air. Doesn't it seem a lot that when bad things happen and we feel that it's the enemy, a lot of times in a spiritual sense, we feel like we're just, you know, swatting out there, just swinging in the air. I hope I get the enemy on this next punch, because he seems to be bobbing and weaving, and I can't seem to nail the guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Paul says that when we're pursuing God in a greater way, that we're not doing it uncertain. In an uncertain matter, we start to understand what's going on in our life. We start to really believe in his faithfulness to us, and we can rest in that. And we're not just beating in the air in a prayer sense where we're praying for things or wondering why certain things are happening in our life. We actually can hit the mark. You know?
The understanding expands.
The understanding expands. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 5, right at the end, I can't remember what verse it is, but it's the last couple of verses. It says, you know, you're acting like babes. When you should by this time be mature, and it's and he says the writer there says that let me just go through it. That's always smart, isn't it? Hebrews 5, right at the end, yeah. It says, this is verse 13. Everyone that uses milk is unskilled. So they're talking about babe, right? Everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The discernment of what's going on here? Why is this happening? Right? There was something else I wanted that the Lord gave me on this. But, you know, you can live on milk, right? You can, but there's something more, isn't there? There's something more for us as we grow. We should be eating something stronger, and that is going to help us to be able to discern things more in our life, right?
Okay. I wrote down a few things here. We don't have to go to these, but
here's some things that happen that get us off the path a little bit. Galatians 3:3 says, "Have you begun in the Spirit that you want to be made perfect by the flesh?" You know, we come to Christ and we come in faith and we're baptized in the Spirit of God, and then we get involved with all kinds of rules and gotta do this and don't do that, and we get so wrapped up in rules and legalism sometimes that we're not going to become perfect. We're not going to complete the course. If we look at God as a rule giver, rather than grabbing a hold of His Spirit, you know, yeah, there are certain rules. There are things that are going to help guide us, but that isn't what becomes the important thing. If we've started in the Spirit, let's not go back to trying to work it out in the flesh. And yet, there's a requirement for us to turn from things. Now you go, well, you're contradicting yourself. No, you pursue God, and you'll know what I'm talking about. You know, we complete the law by being led by the Spirit. That's where it's at. It's not like following rules. We'll be led into those things because the Spirit is who's leading us.
Yes.
There's two scriptures I'm going to reference. One is 1 Corinthians 6:20. The other one is Romans 13:12. And it says this, because it has the word therefore in it. So if we start out a certain way, therefore something else should be going on, right? And it says this, in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, "You were bought with a price. Therefore," in other words, well, Christians, lots of Christians just bathing on bought with a price. And oh my God, how could you not say thank God for that? But you see, the word of righteousness, the meat of the word, says that we're to take that and go beyond that. We don't look at it a stance. But that produces something deeper and stronger and more everlasting when we really grab a hold of that and start stepping out in what God tells us to do. Because it says, therefore glorify God in your body. Oh, if we're bought with the price, can I just bathe in that for the rest of my life? You get that when you're a young Christian, and that's a grand, grand thing, and we should never, ever forget that. But it should produce, therefore, it should make us say, I want to go, I'm going to take that beautiful, wonderful thing, and God, I commit myself to you in a deeper and more grand way. I press toward the mark of being that different kind of person. A person that is going to allow the Spirit of God to lead me, that I eat right, I react in my body the right way, I turn myself from this particular sin or that particular sin. God help me to be that kind of person. And that all comes from what Jesus has already done, isn't it? If we're bought with a price, then let's act that way. Yeah, great.
And because we were bought with a price, he did that because he... Because we are a great work.
That's right. We really are, but we don't really believe that. You know, not to the extent that we need to. We're of great worth to him. His son died for us. We were bought with a price, right? Romans 13 says, starting in verse 11, says this, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore... How many of you believe that the Lord is coming back for His church? You believe that, don't you? Therefore, we're getting closer as every day goes by. You know, I wish He would just get here. But it says, the night's far spent, the day is at hand, let us therefore, so here's us continuing now, we're not just standing around, you know, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let's do that. You say, well, I don't know, how do you do that? You search the scripture, and you find out, you cry out to God, and I'll cry out to God, and we'll find that way. God has a tremendous way of teaching us things that we don't know right now. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk decently, as in the daytime, not in rioting or in drunkenness or in chambering. What's that? Lewdness and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't make any provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That's continuing on to know the Lord, isn't it? What He's begun, He's going to finish in us. And we have to be willing vessels to allow His power to have that happen. And we make choices to either allow it or not. Right? Let's go to Ephesians. I have really only two more scriptures. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It's all about the warfare that we're in. And it says over in verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This perseverance, this continuing in prayer. We have the 10 days of prayer thing that we're doing, and I hope that our turn is tomorrow night up here at this church. I hope that many of you come. Persevere. Come out and be praying for the things that we all need to be praying about. Paul says there in verse 18, praying always. Not just praying once in a while. Pray. Aren't there burdens on everybody's heart? I mean, if I think about all the different people in the church, there's a lot to pray about, isn't there? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. This is something that we need to persevere in. I'm going to close with this. It's Philippians chapter 1. And this is what we started talking about. What Jesus starts, He finishes. What Jesus starts, He has the power and the ability to see it through to the end. And He has that for you, and He has that for me. And He says this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until He comes for you and takes you home. He will perform it. He will give you the power. He will give you the ability to meet anything that comes your way. So we can be encouraged with that. I think the Lord has given this as an encouragement to know that we can find the help that we need. In times of need. Right?
Yes.
We know. He's there for us. Hallelujah. So Lord, we thank You today. We give You praise and we give You glory. King of glory, we thank You so much. Father, I pray that we would be those that find the strength to endure temptation. And come out on the right side of things. Lord, I pray that we would be those that continue to run the race, finish the race, Lord. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that our prayer life would continue and grow. We know, Lord, that You don't want us to draw back in any area of our life, but that we would continue, even when we fall on our face and bloody our nose, Lord, that we know that You'll help us pick ourselves back up again, set us in the right way. Your mercies are new every morning. We ask for that, Lord. We ask for all those that are going through particularly hard things right now. Especially for Gary and Michelle's family. Lord, we ask that You bless them with comfort and mercy. And Lord, that those in the family that doesn't know You, that there would be a change of heart, a touching of the Spirit, Lord God, that You would bring them to Yourself and that there would be born-again people come out of this. We thank You, God. Today, and we ask just comfort and blessing on them. And Lord, comfort and blessing on all those right now who need it in this church and beyond. There's blessing in Your name. Let us be those who continue.